It's Saturday, the 13th of June, and the house is quiet in that particular way it gets after a loud week. And this was a loud week, the kind where the most powerful models we have arrived on a Wednesday and were pulled back off the market by Friday night. Before I bring you the four things that came in overnight, let me do the Saturday thing and walk back across the week to show you the shape it made. If I had to name this week in a single phrase, it was the week Anthropic wrote the whole arc of frontier AI in miniature, release, regulation, and reckoning, and the field's money kept roaring underneath it the entire time. Start with the spine. On Wednesday, Anthropic released Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5, the first publicly available models in the Mythos class, and it was the single biggest story of the week by a wide margin. These were not incremental. They were the most capable things the company had ever shipped, wrapped in the loudest safety case I have ever seen attached to a launch. Thousands of hours of red teaming, safeguards the company called stronger than anything previously deployed, and a 30-day data retention policy built specifically to catch misuse. Then, on Thursday, almost as if in cue, Anthropic published a binding regulation framework, a detailed argument that governments should have statutory authority to test frontier models, to demand transparency from the labs, and, crucially, to block or recall a dangerous deployment. On Friday, it launched Claude Core, a $150 million national fellowship, alongside a formal policy on AI and the future of work, release, then a public call for oversight, then an attempt to shape the labor transition. 3 days, three moves. I am telling you that arc now, because today it closes a loop you could not have scripted, and I will come back to it in the very first segment. The second thread of the week was money, and it did not let up for a single day. On Monday, we learned the Trump administration was in talks to take a government equity stake in OpenAI, and that the so-called tokenpocalypse, inference costs colliding with the rush to go public, was forcing labs to rethink their basic economics. On Tuesday, OpenAI confidentially filed for a public offering at an $852 billion valuation, a week behind Anthropic, while Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan started exploring futures contracts on the price of compute itself, an actual financial instrument for renting a chip. By midweek, the build-out scaffolding was hardening into concrete. A 10-gigawatt campus in Ohio, custom Broadcom silicon. By Thursday, the whole enterprise had visibly shifted onto borrowed money, with Amazon adding $17.5 billion in debt and OpenAI eyeing its own. And then, on Friday, Jeff Bezos's new company, Prometheus, raised $12 billion at a $41 billion valuation to build what it calls an artificial general engineer. A week that opened with the government weighing an equity stake in one lab and closed with the richest man on Earth personally funding physical AI. Underneath both of those, the governance drama and the capital, ran a quieter research thread that I want you to keep an eye on because I think it matters more than its volume suggests. Also, all week, paper after paper kept arguing the same thing from different directions, that the bottleneck on capable agents is no longer the model and no longer even the data, but the environment you train and test the agent in. Thursday brought a whole wave of work reframing verifiable environments as the central object of study. By Friday, it had hardened into its own named discipline, agentic environment engineering, and this morning's archive feeds carry three or four more papers in exactly that vein. When a thread runs that consistently across a week without ever once being the headline, it usually means the field has quietly agreed on where the next real gains are hiding. There was more, of course. Apple rebuilt Siri on Google's Gemini at what turned out to be Tim Cook's final keynote, a genuine shock on Tuesday. The Pentagon blacklisted a dozen Chinese technology firms midweek. But those three threads are the week's real shape: Anthropic's release to reckoning arc, the relentless money, and the slow, quiet rise of the environment as the thing that decides how good an agent gets. Now, with that arc in mind, here are the four pieces I came across overnight. And every one of them picks up a thread the week had already been pulling. First up, the loop I promised you would close. Late on Friday afternoon, the United States government invoked national security authority and ordered Anthropic to suspend all access to Fable 5 and Mythos 5, the very models it had released 3 days earlier, for any foreign national anywhere in the world. Not just foreign governments, not just sanctioned entities, any non-citizen, including Anthropic's own foreign national employees. And because there is no practical way to enforce a restriction that broad selectively, the company did the only thing it could. It disabled both models for every customer on Earth. Every other Claude model still works. These two went dark. The order arrived a little after 5 in the evening, Eastern Time, and by Anthropic's account, it carried no technical specifics. What the company believes happened is this. Someone showed the government a method of jailbreaking Fable 5. Anthropic says it reviewed a demonstration of that technique and found it surfaced only a handful of previously known minor vulnerabilities, the kind it argues that other public models, including OpenAI's GPT 5.5, will turn up on their own without any jailbreak at all. As of this morning, the company says the only evidence it has been handed is verbal, and that the jailbreak essentially amounts to asking the model to read a code base and fix its flaws, something defenders do every single day. Here is why this lands so hard. Remember Thursday? Anthropic had spent the week building the most exhaustive safety case in the industry, and then publishing a framework arguing that governments should have precisely this power, the authority to step in and halt a dangerous deployment. This week, the government took that power, pointed it at Anthropic's own flagship models, and pulled the trigger. The company is complying with the order while disagreeing with it in unusually plain language, calling the whole thing a likely misunderstanding, and warning that if a single, narrow jailbreak becomes grounds to recall a model used by hundreds of millions of people, it would halt every new frontier release across the industry. The precedent is what matters most here. For the first time, a United States administration has used National Security Export Authority to pull a commercial frontier model off the global market, and the technical basis for doing it is, as of this morning, still contested. Either way, that is a genuinely new thing in the world, and the question of who can switch off a deployed model, and on what evidence, is not one that is going back in the box. Moving on to our second story, which arrived the same day and reads almost like the public answering the question that first one raises: who, exactly, should be in charge here? Anthropic released the first results from something it is calling the Anthropic Public Record, a nationally representative survey of nearly 52,000 Americans, run with YouGov across November and December, and weighted to look like the country as a whole. The picture it paints is remarkably coherent. The dominant emotion is anxiety about work. Job loss was the single most common fear in the country, held by 64% of people, ahead of cognitive dependency at 56%, and misinformation at 52%. The top hope, by contrast, was curing disease, chosen by 48%. So Americans want the cancer cure, and they are frightened of the pink slip, and the two sit side by side in the same survey. On governance, the consensus is striking and it crosses party lines. 71% say the government should be involved in developing and regulating AI. That is 79% of Democrats and 68% of Republicans. And the trust numbers are brutal for the industry I cover. Only 15% of Americans say they trust AI companies to make decisions about how this technology is built and used. That is the lowest figure for any institution they tested. Below the federal government, below state and local government, far below independent experts. Asked what would actually help, people converged on two answers: hold the companies legally liable for harm, and prioritize safety over growth. The detail I keep turning over is about exposure. The people who use AI every single day at work are far less afraid of it. 54% worried about job loss versus 70% among people who never touch it. And the fear rises with education. The workers most anxious about being automated are the ones whose jobs already overlap most closely with what these systems can do. Put this survey next to the morning's first story, and the symmetry is almost uncomfortable. on the very day the government reached in and pulled two models off the market, here is the public, by a wide and bipartisan margin, saying that is exactly the kind of authority they want someone to hold. Third up, and let me give the policy a rest and get into something purely technical, because it is the strongest piece of research I saw this morning. A team at Minimax released a paper on what they call Minimax sparse attention, and if you are tracking the long context problem, this one is worth your time. Here is the setup. Every frontier model wants to read more at once. Whole code bases, long agent histories, persistent memory that stretches across a session. But ordinary attention costs grow with the square of the length, so attending over a million tokens at deployment scale is brutally expensive. The usual fix is to make the attention sparse, to let each query look at only the most relevant chunks instead of all of them. The hard part is doing that without wrecking quality and without tying yourself to one exotic piece of hardware. What Minimax built sits on top of grouped query attention, which is already standard, and adds a lightweight index that scores blocks of the sequence and picks the top handful for each group of query heads to actually attend to. A main branch then does exact attention over just those chosen blocks. The clever part is as much engineering as architecture. They co-designed the whole thing with a hardware execution path, tuned to keep the chip busy under that block-by-block access pattern. And the numbers are what make me bring it to you. On a model with 109 billion parameters, trained from scratch on multimodal data, their sparse attention matched the quality of dense, grouped query attention, while cutting the per-token attention compute by a factor of 28 at a 1 million token context. Paired with their custom kernel, that came out to roughly 14 times faster on the prefill, the stretch where the model reads your input, and 7.5 times faster on decoding, the part where it writes its answer, all measured in real wall clock time on an H800. The honest caveat is that parity was shown at that single scale on their own training mix, so whether it holds everywhere is the open question. But as a practical recipe for cheap long context, it is the cleanest thing I read this week. And for our fourth and final story today, let us follow that thread about government and AI all the way to its other extreme. Because while Washington was reaching in to pull two models off the market, another part of that very same government has been quietly handing AI to its own workforce as fast as it possibly can. The Pentagon's chief technology officer, Emil Michael, said this week that the Defense Department's in-house generative AI platform, it is called GenAI.mil, is now being used every day by 1.5 million people. That is out of a total workforce of about 3.5 million. Nearly half the department, and here is the number that stopped me cold. Back in December, that same platform had 80,000 users. 80,000 to 1.5 million in roughly 6 months. The way Michael tells it, the growth was almost an act of deliberate impatience. The rules were unclear, nobody knew where to go or what they were allowed to use it for, so, in his words, they just blew through that. They put Google's Gemini on the unclassified networks, with OpenAI's ChatGPT and xAI's Grok on the way, and they leaned on one simple fact. Most of these people were already using these tools at home. They knew what the tools could do. The tools just were not available at work, so the department put them in front of people. They studied what they actually did with them and let the useful patterns spread on their own. I bring it to you because it reframes the whole government and AI story. It is easy after the morning's first item to picture the state purely as a break. The hand that reaches in and shuts a model down. But here is that exact same government as an accelerator, running one of the largest commercial AI deployments anywhere on Earth. And there is a quiet warning folded inside it. A watchdog reported this same week that clinical staff at the Veterans Affairs Department had been handed generative AI without proper oversight. Adoption at this speed and careful governance are not the same thing, and this week showed both faces at once. So that is the shape of it. Step back, and the four pieces tell one story pulling in two directions. A government that, in a single week, both pulled the most powerful models on the market off the shelf and put commercial AI in front of 1.5 million of its own people, while the public, caught in the middle, says across party lines that it wants someone, anyone, holding the wheel. The reckoning the whole industry has been discussing in the abstract. Stop being abstract this week. If you want the rest of it, the research I could not fit, the money, the long tail of agent papers, it is all waiting for you in today's digest. This is where I leave you for the weekend. Sunday is dark, so rest your eyes, read something printed on paper, and I will see you Monday morning.